When I started thinking about this sermon and what scripture I wanted to include, if you look, you'll see I couldn't really choose one. So I gave you an entire sheet of scripture that is relevant to today's topic. So our scripture this morning is going to come from many different places, all of which can be found there in that bulletin, and all which is interspersed throughout the sermon. So when you hear them, you'll see, or if you read them, you'll see that they all have a very common theme. As Christians, how do we put our love for God, for Jesus, for God's creation into action? Who are we called to help? How are we called to help? And why are we called to help? Jesus helps us when he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." Blessed are the poor? Blessed are the hungry? I'm not sure that many poor or hungry people would call their situations blessed. So that must not really be what Jesus was saying. So we look a little further and see if we can find more. What would he have been talking about? And to do that, we can go back in Scripture to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, where it's written, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Oh, so maybe they're blessed because there are others who are called to help them. There are others who are here to make sure that they're not left destitute, they're not left homeless, they're not left oppressed or tortured or unequally educated or scared or alone or hungry. In the Bible, there are more than 2,000 references to the poor, to the needy, to those who need help. That is the number one most referenced cause in the Bible. So Jesus, when he said, "The poor you will have with you always," summed that up pretty nicely. Now, research from the World Bank found that 46% of people worldwide, that's 3.4 billion people, struggle just to meet basic needs. They make a living of $5.50 a day or less. 10% of our world's population live on $1.90 a day or less. The poor you will have with you always, says Jesus. Why? What does Jesus know that maybe we don't? It's clearly not that God wants this condition to exist. I think we can all agree on that. So if not God, who? Who allows this condition to exist? Now, where it gets tricky is the history behind poverty, the economic and societal systems that were created that depend on some people rising to the top and some people struggling at the bottom. So in other words, poverty isn't just something that happened naturally. It's not a byproduct of God's creation. It's something that rose out of the development of humanity, and it's a byproduct of humanity's creation. That's what Jesus knew. The poor you will have with you always. Humanity's flawed. The economic and societal systems we create are flawed. And no, this is not a sermon on what economic or societal systems may be able to solve this issue. Because I'm just going to go with Jesus. The poor will always be with us. But his words have a very deep meaning that touch us deep in our souls, a very strong message. Because he, when he says this, is calling each one of us to generosity. He's calling each one of us to care for one another, to be good Samaritans. The poor will always be with you. So you must always be prepared to give and to help. And that's what today is all about here. Not only a celebration of the way that SCC gives help, but by the way our agencies have been born out of compassion and generosity to help those in need. So what this sermon is a reflection on how God's faithful people have chosen to live out their faith and their belief in the greatest commandment, to love God, to love your neighbor, to love ourselves. And how our love is changing the world, one touched life at a time. We're called by Jesus to work out of faith and to work out of love, to try to alleviate the pain and suffering of our neighbors, the pain of racial inequality, educational inequality, oppression, housing inequality, food insecurity, among many others. So I'm just going to begin with food insecurity, because here's a disturbing statistic for you on this beautiful sunny morning. In the U.S. alone, we throw away around 40% of our food daily. At a time when 12% of American households are food insecure, if each of us reduced our food waste by just 15%, we could provide enough food to feed more than 25 million people. How do we do that? Well, you can cook appropriate amounts of food and eat all your leftovers. You can only buy what you know you can use before it goes bad. And there's this wonderful new movement called ugly food. You know about this? Ugly food. It's the food at the store that doesn't look Instagram worthy. It's that lettuce that's just a little wilted, that cucumber that grew a little oddly. It's just food that's ugly and it's destined to end up in the dumpster out back. The Council of Churches of Greater Bridgeport provides many services to people in need around Bridgeport. They've created a whole series of very creative programs around helping people with food insecurity. One of those initiatives is called Feed Enterprises, and it makes more than just good food. They really do have a delicious product line which incorporates recovered produce. Paul was like, you need to describe this very carefully. They are not dumpster diving for food. I need to be very clear. They recover produce and food from stores and places that are quick to throw out ugly fruit and veggies that won't sell, broken boxes, dented cans. And this recovered food not only feeds people, but in this feed program, they teach cooking skills to the people who are making it that can then be translated into employment. It also helps reduce food waste, which keeps it out of our landfills, which reduces global warming. One little program does so much. And SCC has been supporting Council of Churches of Greater Bridgeport since its beginning. Listen to this. Dave Huntington's mother, Catherine, served as the secretary on the very first board of directors a long time ago. We here in this church have provided many members of the board of directors, including Dave Huntington, Frank Wendt, Chris Palmer, Paul Whitmore. And as part of our mission outreach board budget, we donate $10,000 a year to support all the work done to provide for the people of Bridgeport through this great program and all the great programs of the Council of Churches. In John's first letter, in the Bible, back there, he wrote, "If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity for them, How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Another disturbing statistic for you this morning. Do you know that more than 500,000 people experience homelessness in the United States on any given night? That's 75% of all extremely low-income families pay more than half their income on rent. What would your life look like? What would your living style look like if you spent more than 50% of your income on housing alone? Only one in four low-income families who need assistance can actually receive it due to the lack of funding of these programs. Here in Fairfield, Operation Hope has been on this problem since 1986, when SCC joined with other churches and lay leaders to come up with a creative and sustainable solution to provide food and emergency shelter to those in need. From the very first meeting, SCC members and clergy have served on the board of directors, including Lisa Ducey, Laura Wilbur, Stuart Tillman, Paul, myself. Sorry if I missed you, if you're out there. SCC has donated tens of thousands of dollars, worth of food to their Operation Hope pantry. And today, Operation Hope has moved from providing emergency shelter to permanent shelter, providing 70 affordable housing units throughout Fairfield. They continue to feed over 123,000 meals a year to people who are food insecure, which includes about 100 children a month. Here at SCC, we give $3,000 a year from the mission budget, as well as food donated by you to help keep their pantry stocked. Bridgeport Rescue Mission is another one of our agencies that work to provide for the hungry, the homeless, the addicted. Last year alone, they provided 655,626 meals to the hungry in Bridgeport. They provided 40,880 nights of safe housing to the homeless. And they're transforming the lives of people who are in their recovery program. We support them through their Great Thanksgiving Project, where over 5,000 families receive an entire Thanksgiving Day meal and more than 15,000 winter coats, hats and scarves, mittens and socks are distributed. We support this program by providing $3,500 worth of brand new winter coats, carloads of used coats for them to distribute, as well as so many volunteers, I'm not even gonna try to begin to name you all. Teresa Burroughs Community Center believes that the health of a community can be measured by building strong relationships within that community. So Burroughs opens their doors for programs and partners and people for things like English as a second language classes, for blood drives, for farmers markets. We give $3,000 annually to help build stronger communities in Bridgeport along with Burroughs. Because with stronger communities come better education opportunities. And along with Hand on Helping, one of the great equalizers for communities is education. When an education system is out of balance, society is out of balance. From the beginning, education's been a vital part of Christianity. The early churches were nothing more than small groups of people meeting in homes to learn the stories of Jesus. And teaching children about God and God's ways meant a lot to Jesus. He had some really strong words for those who might believe the opposite. He said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." That's nice. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Education, it's been important from the very beginning, but the biggest change in Christianity actually came when Martin Luther emphasized the priesthood of all believers. He said, if we are all able to have personal relationships with God, then we need to be able to read the Bible so we can study scriptures for ourselves. This led, unbelievably, along with the invention of the Gutenberg Press, to universal literacy throughout our world. And Martin Luther once wrote about a parent's responsibility to provide education to their children, saying, "I shall really go after the shameful, despicable, damnable parents who choose not to educate their children, for they are not parents at all, but despicable hogs and venomous beasts devouring their own young." Old Martin Luther, you thought he was just an old, staid old guy right there, right? He had some power and passion behind his words. And then when America was up and coming, the first law to require universal education was declared in Massachusetts in 1647. It was called, believe it or not, the Old Deluder Satan Act. This act states that everyone should be educated because, it being one chief product of that old deluder Satan, to keep men from the knowledge of scriptures, and to that end, so that learning may not be buried in the graves of our forefathers, all must be educated. That old deluder Satan. Within 6 years of landing in Massachusetts, the Puritans, after establishing the Congregational Church, established a college. And its original student handbook was written, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well what the main end of his life and studies is, to know God and Jesus Christ, which is to know eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." That is from the incorporation of Harvard University. Then Congregational Church clergy and educators began Yale and William and Mary and Princeton and Brown with those same founding principles. But sadly, education is one of our current day systemic inequalities. In Bridgeport alone, 40% of children live in poverty. Children typically enter kindergarten a full year and a half behind in language skills. By third grade, less than 30% of their students are on track academically. 86% of fourth graders can't read proficiently. 74% lack basic math skills. Of ninth grade students, only 56% will graduate from high school. 18% will go to college. 3% will finish college. So here at SCC, with our roots deeply embedded in the knowledge that education is so important, we support the Horizons Program, the Shepherds Program, and Adam J. Lewis Academy, all who understand these issues and work very hard to address these inequalities by providing strong and supportive educational programs, as well as support and care for the families. In the past year, these three agencies have provided quality education to over 600 students in the Bridgeport area. The Shepherds Program helps Bridgeport students who show potential and a desire to learn secure scholarships to attend a private college preparatory high school. But they go a step further. They provide a personal and dedicated adult mentor who walks with that student through those 4 years and often beyond. SCC has supported the Shepherds Program with Tim Stewart being the chairman of the board, Sydney King as an intern, Susan Terry serving as one of our mentors. The Horizons programs are a tuition-free academic enrichment program for K through 12 students at GFA and at Sacred Heart University. They serve low-income Bridgeport students. They provide year-long Saturday academies and six-week summer intensive programs so that kids can stay on grade level or even move ahead, or sometimes just try to keep up to where they need to be. SCC loves these programs. We provide over 325 backpacks filled with school supplies to Horizon students each year. In addition, Brad Evans and Stephanie Whitaker, Alyssa Ryan, Tom Graham, Paige Tremaine have all served on boards of these Horizon programs. Christina Whitaker Haas is currently serving as the director of the high school and college programs. Audra Whitmore has worked as a teacher, and I can't even tell you how many of our young high school kids have worked there as summer counselors. Adam J. Lewis Academy was born out of the tragedy of the terrorist attacks of 9/11. But Patty Lewis and Julie Mombello chose to create something beautiful out of that tragedy for the children of Bridgeport. A quote on their website reads, "Something is profoundly wrong when we can point to two-year-olds in this country and make a plausible bet about their long-term outcomes, not based on their brains and capabilities, but on their zip codes." Adam J. Lewis Academy exists in the zip code where the possibility for quality education is at its lowest. And they provide innovative and creative opportunities for their students to not only to achieve, but to succeed. And their focus, just like Horizons and Shepherds, includes the families. At AJLA, each family pays only what they can afford out of the $16,000 a year tuition. The rest is paid by non-governmental donations and grants and money from churches and individuals. And they take the support of the family a bit further, offering parent workshops and classroom volunteer opportunities. They have a school psychologist to keep a strong connection between home and school. And they have a scholarship program in conjunction with Housatonic College, where any parent of an Adam J. Lewis Academy student can take classes for free. SCC has walked with Patty and Julie on that journey almost the entire time. In one case, we actually ran. Richard Garland, a church member, ran marathons in South America and Antarctica to raise money for Adam J. Lewis. Linda Murphy, one of our church members, is a science teacher there. An anonymous donor from our church family underwrites the entire music program for them. SCC gives $3,000 an annual donation from our missions budget, as well as gifts from the Giving Tree, food at the holidays, board games through for families during COVID, school supplies, and much more. In addition, SCC, through the good works of the Carousel Thrift Shop, also stands at the ready at any time to help any family in crisis, whether it's from Adam J. Lewis Academy or Horizons or any of our agencies, SERI, helping out when families need clothing or home goods. Three great educational programs working to end educational inequality. But lest you think I'm done, Jesus has more to say to us. In this account, Jesus is talking to his disciples, telling them a parable about how they're helping others is really helping God. It's in there, the long story. I'm going to give you the abbreviated. You'll catch on. You've heard it. After Jesus talks to them and tells them this, they reply to him, because God bless the disciples. They're just always a little slow on that, catching that hook of Jesus, right? So they say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And honestly, when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And Jesus says, "The king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did it to me.'" A stranger and welcome you? In prison and care for you? Immigration is a hot political topic right now. But a problem arises when the church allows a topic which is clearly set in the depths of Christianity to leave the church and move into the political arena only. And thankfully, there are two organizations who are here with us today who are living out these ideals. More, all of them are. CIRI, Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, has been working for, you might think they're a new organization, 103 years. They have been here in Connecticut building healthy and safe environments for refugees, for immigrants, for survivors of sex trafficking, for survivors of torture, for unaccompanied minors who come to the United States. 2,598 people were helped in 2019 in the midst of COVID. 2,204 people received affordable legal services. And during the COVID crisis, they worked with the Connecticut Department of Housing to carry out a rental assistance program to keep these individuals and families not eligible for any other help in their homes and safe. And most recently, CIRI has opened their doors to Afghan refugees who had to flee their country to save their lives. We donate $3,000 annually to their work and recently granted them an additional $2,500 towards the Afghan Relief Fund. And we offer volunteer help as well. Laura Wilbur has volunteered for CIRI for more than a decade. Caroline Peck is currently the chair of the board. And 2 weeks ago, Sherry Greer and Susan Kunkel and I went to an event where SCC received an award for the generosity of the carousel, which has provided furniture and clothing to CIRI's clients. And the disciples asked, "And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you?" And Jesus replied, "Whenever you did this to the least of my neighbors, you did it to me." Homes for the Brave welcome strangers, men and women, into their homes every day. But they aren't really strangers. They're brothers and sisters who are veterans, protectors of our country, who've fallen on hard times. 72% of those veterans suffer with substance use disorders. 78% of them with mental illness. 34% of them with chronic medical illness. Homes for the Brave cares for each and every one of them. In 2020, 17,106 people were given a night of safe shelter. And every day available to those veterans are life skills coaching, computer education opportunities. And through those programs and the love and care, 86% of their veterans have found employment. In addition, 17,120 hungry veterans have received a meal. 450 of those meals came through a partnership with SCC and the Little Pub, where we delivered 50 meals a week for nine weeks. In addition, Kirk Jackson and Mary Lou McGuire, with the help of Chris Palmer, helped to build a vegetable garden to provide free, fresh vegetables for their meals. "Whenever you did this to the least of my brothers or sisters, you did it to me," said Jesus. In 2014, Charlie Grady created and launched a grassroots effort to foster community and to give voice to men and women who are ex-offenders and returning citizens from jail who've been silenced or unheard for too long. Hang Time and Her Time's work is focused on people involved with gang group violence and those that suffer from post-traumatic and present stress disorder, resulting from the gun violence that we have here in Bridgeport. Their work is focused on reducing the level of violence in Bridgeport and the recidivism rate, and they are doing a great job. They create a safe space for these people to engage in community and building connections, not only with their peers, but with members of other gangs who are supposed to be their enemies, and with community leaders of Bridgeport. And Hetty Mosier and Robin Marshlow and Bob and Adrian McGuffey all volunteer to take meals to meetings and following Jesus' commandment to feed our neighbors. In addition, we send $3,000 annually to support this transformational work. Whenever you did this to the least of my neighbors, you did it to me, said Jesus. Folks, this isn't naive. God knows that in this world there's inequality, there's injustice, there's exploitation of the weaker by the stronger. And that's why Jesus' messages are so very powerful. Over and over again, Jesus commands us to protect the vulnerable, to openly and cheerfully contribute to the raising up of God's people. Because God's love is most visible when each one of us shows loving care toward those who might need a hand up, who are struggling and hurting, who live in fear, or who are hungry, or who are alone, or who are sick. So on this Mission Sunday, we celebrate not only the mission work of SCC, which honestly, it is astounding all that you do, but we also celebrate the work of Iona Smith and Carla Miklos and Christina Haas and Vince Santilli and Julie Mombello and Charlie Grady and Sydney King and Susan Schnitzer and Edwin Supo and Teresa Lefevre. I skipped it the first time, hoping she wouldn't notice. Lefevre. And may God continue to bless us all as we continue to live out our mission, answering God's question, who will help? With our simple words, here I am, Lord. Amen.
Our loving God of all people, all nations, all races, all styles, we are all yours. Literally. And on this gorgeous day, both outside and inside these walls, as the summer warmth is in the midst of transitioning to some crispness in the evening and early morning air, we're even more aware of the constantly changing and renewing cycling of your life that you provide. May our appreciation of your creation and our relationship with your creation heighten with each ray of sunshine, with each stroke of beauty, and with every morsel of nourishment that not only you provide, but that we are able to provide as your hands and as your servants, as nourishment and support of food and water, clothing and shelter, educational support, and safe spaces, sanctuary, second chances, a new start with life, forgiveness of the past, and a clean, bright future, being equipped for life in word and in deed. May all of these sources of life and new life and renewal be direct extensions of your very direct presence and nourishment in our lives. Day after day, you are there for us. At this moment, you are here for us. So thank you for your presence and support with every breath we take, with every beat of our heart, and with every opportunity that you give us to connect person to person, soul to soul, with love. May we continue to learn to receive your gifts of life well. May we continue to learn to revere your gifts of life well. And may we continue to share your gifts of life well. As your partners in care, taking care and giving care to all in need, with your greatest love and with our greatest love, this we pray with our actions and with our hearts, in your spirit. Amen.